DW.
Africa is home to three of the world's megacities. That is a city that has a population of over 10 million people. And the continent's urban population is set to double by 2050 from its current 1.2 billion inhabitants. Such growth not only means a strain on resources, but also concerns over whether or not it will further contribute to climate change. In the studio to speak with me more about the change ahead for African nations and cities, I'm joined by my DW colleague Ajit Naranjan, who's been reporting on megacities on the continent over the past year. So we just heard about air pollution in China. I can only imagine that these cities with tens of millions of inhabitants and all of the traffic that that brings with it are dealing with some pretty serious air pollution. Was this a reoccurring issue that came up in your reporting?
We heard from people in cities across Africa that air pollution and the quality of air is one of the biggest problems they face. I mean, on one level, you've got this from things like plastic being burnt and agricultural issues as well from crop burning and so on. But one thing that is really common across cities is that where you've seen the city's population boom, often that happens faster than infrastructure can keep up with. So you end up with cities where a lot of the vehicles are secondhand vehicles and people are driving. There's not a public transport network to reduce that pressure of private cars and private minibuses and so on. And I mean, a lot of this comes down to money, which makes it really difficult. So in cities which have sprung up really quickly, a lot of the development happens in these informal settlements or slums. In these parts of the city, you end up with sort of these very low population densities. So if you're a company, you're trying to set up a public transport network, it's really difficult to actually make a profit because people are spread out over such a big distance. And then on top of that, the incomes are fairly low. So as a private company, it's very difficult for you to make money off this. And the governments often don't have access to the credit, to the loans to build these big, massive projects. And so all of that kind of comes together and you end up with people living in these cities suffering from poor air quality. And I think for the cities that have grown fastest, they're often struggling with the worst effects of this air pollution.
Why are fast-growing cities most susceptible to climate change?
So we spoke to analysts from a private consultancy firm which had kind of ranked cities across the world based on their vulnerability to climate change. What they showed was that the fastest-growing cities are also the most vulnerable. But what was surprising was that it's not necessarily because they're fast-growing. So I think they said population growth was a factor, but one of maybe 20 factors. And so they estimated that accounted for maybe 1% of the total reason for that. So the reason that fast-growing cities also seem to be the ones most vulnerable to climate change is broadly because they're also the poorest, they've got the least access to good healthcare, good technology. Large parts of the economy rely on agriculture. The other aspect is how effective the governments and institutions and infrastructure are. And broadly, if you look at the countries in the world and the cities in the world, the ones which are more able to cope with these sorts of changes and the shocks of climate change and extreme weather events and the ones that are able to adapt and react most well to these tend to be ones where you're A, rich, and B, you've got good government structures to actually implement any policies. And in many cases, these are the countries where the populations are simply growing the fastest.
So you also write in this piece that 2/3 of Africans who've heard of climate change say it's decreasing the quality of life in their country. That's a pretty staggering number, I think. But as I was reading that, I was wondering how many haven't heard of climate change?
In the survey from Afrobarometer, they found that about 58% of people in Africa have not heard of climate change. And even among those who have, there's a big disparity in terms of understanding how many people are what they term as climate literate. So understanding that A, having heard the term climate change, B, understanding that it's got negative consequences, and C, understanding that it's also human caused. Now, it's obviously difficult with this because we don't have good data that's internationally comparable from other countries. So, I mean, in many parts of the world, in many rich countries like America, you might find that a large percentage of the population doesn't actually believe that climate change is caused by humans, at least in part. But what it does show on an African level is that there's a lot of work to be done in terms of raising not just awareness of what climate change is, but why it's an issue that people should be caring about. Separately to that, though, you've also got a lot of people who are very aware and are witnessing the effects of climate change, even if they've not necessarily made the link to the term itself. So people in rural areas were a lot less likely to have heard the term climate change than people in urban areas and cities. But these people are also actually working in agriculture often and so are more directly connected to the impacts of it.
Africa only emits 3.7% of global CO2 per year, and efforts seem underway to increase the use of green energy across the continent as different countries develop. Countries like Kenya and Rwanda seem to be in a good position to leapfrog or kind of bypass this need for fossil fuels as their economies develop. Is that something that you think is feasible or likely to happen?
When it comes to renewable development, some countries have incredibly ambitious targets. So Kenya wants to be 100% renewably powered by 2020. And I think currently it's maybe about 80% or 75% of the way there. It also at the same time wants to give electricity access to all of its population by 2022. Ethiopia wants to become a middle-income country by 2025 without significantly increasing its greenhouse gas emissions. Now, these sorts of development targets are far more ambitious, as far as I've seen, than any other country in the world has ever really set. Are they in a good position to do so? Yes, in the sense that a lot of the infrastructure that they need for this century has not yet been built. And so instead of having to retrofit or upgrade buildings, which can be very expensive, they can design and build them from scratch in a way that's suitable for a renewable, climate-friendly future. They're also in a good position in that renewable prices have dropped to a point where they really are competitive, and in some cases cheaper than traditional fossil fuels. The question, I guess, for many countries is how important are the pressures to develop quickly?
Thanks, Ajit.
Thank you.
To learn more about megacities in Africa, and more specifically the issues of water in Cairo, heat in Lagos, traffic in Dar es Salaam, and waste in Kampala, be sure to check out dw.com/African-megacities. DW.